We are in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. In chapter 4, verse 7 and 9, 7 through 9. And then picking up again at 16 in chapter 4. And taking that through chapter 5, verse 10. I have always been taken with these passages in Corinthians. Years ago, this came off the page at me, and never did I know how appropriate that would be someday. We're going toward talking about bodily resurrection, and to understand that, and this will be review, so I think it's good to review. I review constantly. So sometimes it may seem like to you I'm preaching the same sermon Sunday after Sunday. Does it seem that way? Well, yeah, Nathan, I know you do. But you see, that's how I think. And so I think it might be helpful for you. I'll go through it quickly. I'll review quickly. But I think it builds to the topic today, which I'm really excited about. I'm really excited about these topics. And because what we're talking about here is the now and the not yet of the Spirit's enablement. You know, we've got that down, right? The Spirit does certain things now that is a signpost that we know the Spirit's going to do certain things later. So that's why I call it the signpost that is pointing into the mist. And all of this, when we study Corinthians, ever and always hold this in your heads. This has been very helpful for me. That earthly facts versus heavenly truths, okay? We know that, don't we? There are earthly facts, and behind the earthly facts are heavenly truths. And I realized this week, that is what Scripture is. Scripture is telling us that fact. And then I thought about Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes. And for the first time, and I know the Beatitudes, upside down, inside out, but I never before saw them in this light, the light of this. The Beatitudes are, here's an earthly fact. The earthly fact, number one, is, blessed are you if you're poor in spirit. Okay, that's an earthly fact. So Jesus then attaches to that, on the other side of the Beatitude, the heavenly truth attached to that earthly fact. What's the heavenly truth attached to the earthly fact? That you're blessed if you're poor in spirit. And we might say to Jesus, why are we blessed if we're poor in spirit? He says, well, that's what you're experiencing here on earth. But the heavenly truth behind that for you is what? The kingdom of heaven is yours. You see that? You see, I realize that this is the woof and the warp of Jesus' teaching. It is the woof and the warp of Scripture. You know what woof and warp is? You heard me use that term before? Years ago, Teresa and the kids got a real kick out of this. I joined the weaving guild at Malabar Farm. We were there on a touring at those heritage days, and we went into this where they had these looms. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. And the guy was talking to us, and I said, hey, I want to join the weaving guild. And he was shocked, wasn't he? He said, you do? And I said, yeah, I want to join. So I think I paid like $50 for dues or something. Never attended a meeting once. Never went any time. But I did learn about woof and warp. On a loom, am I preaching to the choir? You all know what woof and warp is. Okay, well, woof and warp. On a loom, the fibers that go down like this are the warp. And then the fibers that go horizontal are the woof. So together, you see, the woof and the warp make the total picture, make the fabric, make it strong, are the totality of what you're trying to do. So I use that term with Jesus because the heavenly truth attached to earthly facts is the woof and the warp of his teaching and of his mission. That's what he came to say this to us. And that's why we were talking this morning about, dispelling fear. Because fear is nothing more than you thinking you are permanently attached to an earthly fact, right? I mean, that's fearful. But but I looked at the Beatitudes and I saw, hey, that's what Jesus is doing here. And then we look at the second, blessed poverty of spirit is the first one. Blessed are those who mourn. Okay, that's an earthly fact. That's demonstrated in our bodies. We mourn. And then what's the heavenly truth? You'll be comforted. Then he says, you're blessed if you're gentle, if you're meek. That's an earthly fact. And what is surprising about, and this is key and important for us to know for today's message, the heavenly truths attached to earthly facts are the exact opposite of the earthly fact. What's the exact opposite of being gentle and meek? He tells us, you'll inherit the earth. You see, a meek, gentle person in our culture is put down. I mean, put in the back, put behind. They're the last in the line, aren't they? They're not going to inherit anything. But Jesus says the absolute opposite condition presently exists for you in the heavenly realm. You think that you're gentle and you're meek and you're not demanding your own way, which is what that actually means. Jesus says the heavenly truth behind that is for you meek ones, you're going to be kings of the earth. You see, the opposite condition exists with these heavenly truths and earthly facts. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about here. Is that clear? Okay, is that hopeful and helpful for us? I think it is. Because, you see, that's what Paul does here, and I'll try and go through this quickly, when he talks about the treasure that we have in verses 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. He talks about this treasure with this extraordinary power. And what this treasure does, held within the clay jars, is it counteracts our earthly facts. That's what this treasure does. The extraordinary power of this treasure is it takes your earthly fact and it counters it. And then he says, the earthly fact of a clay jar is that we're pressured and we're perplexed and we're persecuted. That's present things that we are. And the heavenly truth that this treasure gives us, boy, do we need this today? The heavenly truth that treasure gives us is we're not crushed, we're not in despair, and we're not abandoned. You see this? The opposite condition. What's the opposite condition of being pressured to the point of being crushed is, no, you're not crushed. The opposite condition of being in perplexed is, you're not in despair. The opposite condition of being persecuted is, well, you're not abandoned. So that's what this treasure does for us. It counteracts our earthly facts. And the earthly fact that hasn't been countered yet for any of us is the last one, isn't it? There, in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 4. None of us has been struck down. Physical death. But Paul says the heavenly truth behind that, and this is where we're tying this into bodily resurrection, which if you stay plugged into this message, you're really going to be blessed. You're not going to be destroyed. See, the opposite condition. So that brings us to then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And my synopsis of that, which I'll go through again, my synopsis of what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and following is that the enablement of the Holy Spirit now is a signpost pointing into the mist of the not yet enablement of the Holy Spirit. Further, when you experience here and now the enablement of the Spirit, it gives you two things. It gives you confidence that the not yet enablement is coming, and it prepares you, and that's the most fascinating part that I want to get to. It prepares us for this future enablement. And remember also that the Holy Spirit's power, influence, and effect is ever and always revealed and demonstrated and known through our bodies. Through our bodies. The Holy Spirit has to have an object. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the influence and the effect of the Holy Spirit, will also one day in the future be demonstrated again through our bodies. Bodily resurrection. So when we experience the now enablement, we have confidence that the not yet enablement is coming. You see? Now you are right now, as you are sitting here, you are experiencing the enablement of the Holy Spirit through a body. Tim. Because the Holy Spirit wrote this message. I don't download my messages. I don't get them out of books. I very rarely use commentaries. So when I stand here and I say these words to you, you're actually experiencing what I'm talking about. You're experiencing the Holy Spirit animating a body. You're experiencing the Holy Spirit being demonstrated through a body. And I think of Peter. After his abject, colossal failure. I don't know him. What, a matter of 6 weeks later, at Pentecost, he stands up on the porch of Solomon's temple, and we see exactly that. We see him preach a very powerful sermon. We're seeing, and you're experiencing right there, you see, how the Holy Spirit works. Jesus likened it again to the wind. And if the wind is out there blowing, and there's no object, there's no trees, there's no leaves, there's no grass, you would never see it. The Holy Spirit has to have an object to demonstrate itself. You're experiencing that right now. And I trust you are experiencing that. And I trust that I am speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you that I believe that I am. And that is just the way the Spirit works in and through me. So what does Paul say for us? What does this do for us? This earthly fact and heavenly truth kind of thing. Well, he says there at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, you see, therefore we don't give up. We don't give up is referring back to that extraordinary power of that treasure that we hold. You see how Paul ties that together? He says, therefore we don't give up. And here's the review continuing. Even though this is true, this is simultaneously true. Now, this is, again, the Holy Spirit wants to drive this point home to you today. There are two simultaneous truths operating in you today. Therefore, we don't give up. Even though this is true, what, Paul? Well, even though your outer person is being destroyed, what's simultaneously happening? Your inner person is being renewed day by day. That is a now enablement of the Spirit taking place in the face of the outer person being destroyed. See, the opposite condition is occurring today in you, even though we are pressured and perplexed and persecuted, even though that's going on, while that's going on. See, that's why we don't give up. It's presently happening. The heavenly truth that you yearn for related to your earthly facts is already here. I want you to spin out on that a little bit. The opposite condition is presently here. I have poverty of spirit. Well, what's the opposite condition that is presently here? The kingdom of heaven is mine. I grieve, and I do. And I mourn, and I do. What's the opposite that is presently here for me? Comforted. You're walking around with a boatload of earthly facts. And there's another boatload of heavenly truths that are here. Even though the outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day, day by day. It's occurring now. It's here. It's now. I called it escalating renewal. How does that happen, Paul? How does this take place? For our momentary light affliction. Our affliction is producing, see that? Presently, is producing an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. Now, my affliction doesn't seem that light. But what makes it light is comparing it. Paul says, the definition of affliction for you is that it's momentary and light. And the glory that is even now being produced from that affliction is eternal and it's weighty. Who is Paul talking to? Is he talking to the general populace, or is he talking to, oh, there's a scandal of particularity with Paul here. What do you mean by that, Tim? I mean, the scandal of particularity is he's speaking to clay jars that are filled with a treasure. See, everybody, every man, jack, one of us on this planet are clay jars. But there's a scandal of particularity. Only some of those clay jars have this extraordinarily powerful treasure in them. That's who Paul is talking to. These truths that Paul is espousing are for the clay jars permeated with this extraordinary treasure. It's not for everybody. That's a hard concept for me. The hard concept for me is, and I would say, you know, we're all going to have questions for, well, maybe not for Jesus and God one day, but Jesus says to the disciples, that brought me to that verse, he says, you know, now is your time of grief, but you will see me again, and then you will rejoice. And what's he say?
In that day, you will no longer ask me any questions.
Yes, on that day, you'll no longer ask me any questions. I wonder why. And I think I know why. Because it's like C.S. Lewis says, someday our earthly facts will seem like an old tale. Shakespeare says this about our earthly facts, God's people. Listen, you clay jars out there filled with treasure. Shakespeare says, there'll be like a twice told tale vexing the dull ear of a drowsy man. In other words, here's someone who's trying to go to sleep. They're really drowsy and they want to go to sleep. And here's someone that comes up to them and starts to tell them something that they've already known. They already heard it. And our earthly facts someday, that's why I think we aren't asked Jesus any more questions. You know why? We're going to be so overwhelmed with the eternal weighty glory that we see that we're not going to have to go back and replow that field about the earthly facts. It'll just be so exhilaratingly overwhelming. Twice told tale, vexing the dull ear of a drowsy man. So what's the practicality of this? The practicality is verse 18. What do we do with these truths, Paul? Because I have affliction. And yes, you can tell me that it is producing glory. But what do I do? How do I put this in the shoe leather today? Verse 18. And how are you doing with that? Verse 18. Verse 16, this is the truth. Verse 17, this is how that truth comes about. Verse 18, and this is what you do with it. What do we do with it? What's the conclusion, Paul? So. In other words, because 16 and 17 are true, so we do not. Who's we again? Right. Filled with? Good. The treasure, right? The treasure of enormous power. So we, us permeated clay jars, we do not focus on what is seen. But what is unseen. So because this is true, we don't focus on what is seen. Instead, you focus on what is not seen. So you don't focus on your momentary light affliction. It's momentary. You focus instead on that eternal weighty glory. We still see it. It's not a Pollyanna view of affliction, by the way. I live with it. He jested scars who never felt a wound, Shakespeare says. See, I don't jest at scars, because I've got wounds. So that's not what I'm saying. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. We still see it. Of course you do. Paul doesn't say you don't see it. He says you don't focus on what you see. Obviously you still see it. But you don't orient your life around it. This is the how and the why we don't give up. It's the how and the why. Paul says, therefore, we don't give up. And we want to say to Paul, you know, sometimes I feel like it. And Paul says, well, let me help you with that. Because this is occurring now in your life by the Holy Spirit. It's occurring now. And you've got to look at those afflictions as God's tool to produce your glorification. I wish it weren't that way. But it is. And so practically, Paul says, here, I'm going to give you some great advice on how to live day by day and how to actually experience that renewal day by day in your inner person. Focus. Focus. Because 16 and 17 are true, 18 is the practicality. So we don't focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Why, Paul? Well, because what is seen is what? What's he say there? Temporary. What is seen is temporary. And what is unseen is eternal. Again, for us, treasure-filled clay jars. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with it? Because stuff that's right here, the scene, seems eternal, doesn't it? You know the hope held here? You know, years ago, Tori, remember this, I had a 1983 Dodge Ram pickup. I had that truck for like 25 years. And I would take Tori and Timmy around, and it had the bench seat, you know, no airbags, no seatbelts. You know, we just were going around this old Dodge truck. And I wanted to keep that thing going. You want to keep your earthly facts going? And I went, I was trying to get parts, went up to the, up there on Park Avenue West, used to be the Spitzer Dodge. And I said, you know, I got this wrong, I need this part. And the guy said to me, this was after I had the truck for like 20 years, like I said. And I went up there and he said, you know, it's going to be hard to get parts because that's been slated for obsolescence. In other words, you really should be looking at something new here because you're trying to rehabilitate something that's been slated for obsolescence. Now listen to this, and this speaks to our prayers. Your earthly facts have been slated for obsolescence. Isn't that good? And Paul is saying, like the parts guy said to me, you're wasting your time trying to rehabilitate that earthly fact. It's already dealt with. It's slated for obsolescence. It's going to go away. And in fact, on the other side, right next door here in this showroom, Tim, is a brand new. It's presently there. It's there for you. See, you have a brand new heavenly truth already here. It exists. The opposite condition is already present for you in the heavenly realm. You, God's people. You, treasure-filled clay jars. So in our prayer, yes, Nathan, I'm going to talk about prayer again. In our prayers, we do not focus and try and rehabilitate earthly facts. It's already done. What we do in prayer is you ask God to show you the unseen heavenly truth about that earthly fact. Your fourth beatitude, you're blessed if you're hungry and thirsty. What's the opposite condition? What's Jesus say? You've got to be filled. That's why we don't give up. That's the how and the why. Focus, focus. Yes, we see it. But what the enemy wants is for you to think that earthly fact is not slated for obsolescence. Try and say that word. It's not slated for obsolescence, that it is in fact eternal. And therefore, it's your job, Tim, it's your job in prayer to take that earthly fact and rehabilitate it. And God says back to me, I've already done it. It's going to be obsolete. Tim, focus on what is not seen. That brings you to the point where you don't want to give up. You know, we're in some dark times, right? How do we deal with that? How do we negotiate that? See, we're focused on the virus. And there's very little mention of the host. You and me, our bodies, our immune systems. It's like when you hear the talk about this, it's like we have no immune systems. It's all the focus on the virus. See, you can do that in your prayer. You have a spiritual immune system. Stop focusing on the virus in your life. Because that's depressing. And Paul is saying, boy, I wish you could get a hold of this, you clay jars. I just wish I could convey this to you. Because I, Paul, I've got a few earthly facts. I destroyed families. People were killed because of me. I tried to stamp out the way. Paul had a few earthly facts. For the non-God people, Teresa likes that term, so I'm going to use it. The people of God, and then I've slated the non-God people. For the non-God people, their earthly facts remain just that, earthly facts. They're not slated for obsolescence. How do you know that, Tim? Well, I'll tell you how I know it. Fair question. Jesus said so. He said, if you don't believe I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. You're going to be enveloped in those earthly facts, my construal of hell. You're going to be enveloped in your earthly facts. And earthly facts, as you know, continually deteriorate. And they will drag you down. You're going to be attached to those earthly facts, you non-God people. And you are going to deteriorate with them. My construal of hell is a quasi-human devolving and attached to his earthly facts forever. Oh, Jesus never promises that earthly facts are obsolete for those that are not in his family. There is therefore now no condemnation, who, Paul, for those that are in Christ Jesus. I think of Marley's ghost. You want to know my construal of hell? Marley's ghost. The old Ebenezer Scrooge is up in the eating his gruel. I forged these chains linked by that's exactly it, Dave. That's it. That is my construal of hell. And boy, thanks for stealing my thunder there, Dave, by the way. And so, it, You got it. You're exactly right. And Scrooge hears this clanging and clinking coming up the stairs. Marley enters the room. This is Mike and Strule of Hell. And this is how I think Dickens was right on there, that Marley has these chains and these heavy boxes that he's dragging around, all of his earthly facts. And like Dave said, I made this chain link by link. And then he says, we wear the chains that we forged in life. And he's warning Ebenezer. He said, you had a ponderous chain 7 Christmases ago. Non-God people are Marley's ghost. And for all, I don't know what your construal of hell is, but for mine, for all eternity, the regret, the remorse, the attachment, the envelopment of their earthly facts. And they made those chains link by link. See, for God's people, those chains, they're gone. Your earthly fact slated for obsolescence. So why, Paul says, why does it make any sense? You're going to put all this energy into these earthly facts, and you're going to be praying about it, and you're going to ask it to be changed, and it's like God says, you know, I've got it. I'm handling it. The opposite condition that you are worried about, your earthly fact, is presently true in heaven. If you leave with nothing else today, leave with that, because it changes everything. It changes your focus. And it is the why and the how. We do not give up. Next week, we will actually get to chapter 5. Nathan, I know you're champing at the bit. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, where we actually talk about Paul now says, here's what he says in chapter 5. He says, okay. I talked about the being pressured and being perplexed and being persecuted. Now, you're probably wondering about that last thing about the struck down and not destroyed thing. And Paul says, okay, I'm going to talk about that now and what it means for us with our bodies. Exciting. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your spirit was in this and that our focus would be on those eternal truths that are present now. Amen.